And you're turning your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. This Week in Israel will be the title of this lesson. John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, the 35th verse, then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He hid himself, basically, and then comes on the scene. And at that time, the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. What they did was they poured out all water. The idea was there would be no rain upon the unbeliever. It goes back to the book of Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verse 16, And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And as Christ said, if any man come, any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Well, many reject that offer. And when you reject that offer, you get his wrath. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh among them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Those that reject, that's going to be their lot. But we read down in verse 9, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. They shall not escape. As I said, we know that this is a Feast of Tabernacles. It's the last of the Feast of Jehovah for the year. It was the eighth day. It wasn't no ninth, tenth day. Eighth day is first day of the week. It's a continuation, though, of the first seven. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, it talks about this Feast of Tabernacles. It also covers it in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23, as well as Deuteronomy 16, mentions it twice in those respective chapters. Two, because of two advents of Christ. Typology. Leviticus chapter 23. Now, the first, after the long, hot growing season in the summer, it was broken up by the blowing of the trumpets, which was in the seventh month. Verse 24, Leviticus 23:23, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, Feast of Trumpets. 10 days later, you had the great day of atonement. Very serious matters. You shall do no servile work, But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of the seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offering, and offer an offering made of, by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. That's where the high priest went in one time a year with the proper blood. He had to be clean. He had to offer everything exactly the way it's prescribed, or he was struck dead. They tied a rope around him. They had little bells on him. The bells stopped ringing. They drug him out. He was dead. For verse 29, For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Those that reject the atonement, be cut off. It was to be a time of rejoicing, but this time it was to be a solemn assembly in the proper place. No works permitted. We're not saved by works. We mentioned the great white throne judgment there in Revelation chapter 20 for those who were judged according to their works. If you're judged according to your works, you will receive eternal punishment. And as I said, that was the last day of the feast. No water was available. Christ playing on people's thirst. If any man thirsts, let him come to me. As said, this is the last, this Feast of Tabernacles, the last feast of Jehovah. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, tells about our Creator. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It's pretty much everything. In Him was light, and in the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It goes on down to verse 11. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, to them which believe on his name. Man, we see here, does not have a free will. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, verse 13, nor the will of man, but of God. That's why we're sovereign graces. We preach the doctrines of grace, election. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled with men. The word dwelt is the same tabernacle. Solomon made the statement in 1 Kings 8:27, will God dwell with man? It's hard to imagine that he would want to. 1 Kings 8, verse 27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built it. It's an amazing fact, but as sure as we're standing here, the Almighty God in the person of Christ will be upon this world, we believe, in not too many years. The great day of atonement, they were to afflict their souls for sin, pointing to repentance and faith. Any wrong that they had committed, they were to right it. Make everything right that they was wrong on. Get all matters straightened out. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, cast thy bread upon the waters. They were to do that during this time before the great day of atonement. Why? They was looking at it like casting those breadcrumbs upon the water were throwing away all your wrongs for the year. You see where this is headed. Man is trusting in what he does. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That's Ecclesiastes 11:1. That's, once again, that's works. And we're not saved by works. For by grace are you saved through faith. A time of reconciliation, making amends, making things right. Symbolically throwing away our mistakes. And when the high priest went into the holiest place of all at one time in a year, what could they do? Nothing. They had to trust another. We see the scope of God dealing with mankind nearing an end. You know, this past week, a lot going on about having the red heifer in Israel. Now, the red heifer, that's mentioned in Numbers chapter 19. You see, they had to have a red heifer. They could not find a white hair or any other color hair on it. It had to be perfect. And they didn't have one. Supposedly they have them now. They have them covered up in boxes. You can't see them. They couldn't get to them with a camera. Numbers chapter 19. This is verse 2. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. That's all pointing to Christ. He was never in bondage. That's what a yoke speaks about. As far as no white or other colored hairs other than red, that's purity. They had to take that red heifer, verse 5, and one shall burn the heifer in the hyssop, the priest's sight. Her skin, her flesh, her blood, and her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it in the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and shall bathe in flesh, his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come to the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until evening. Long story short, verse 10, and he shall gather the ashes of the heifer and shall wash his clothes. And they make a soap out of this. It's verse 9, and a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for water of separation. It is a purification for sin. Verse 12, he shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself that day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever, verse 13, whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, and purify not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. That priest that went in there had to be cleansed to this. It was a soap, but it was a very strict composition of soap, beginning with the red heifer. It had to be pure, not one spot of another color. They have the heifer. They claim they have the light, the lampstand, some of the altars. They claim they have the altar of the Ark of the Covenant. I can't say what they have. But we see Israel at a point where they want a temple, and they want to go back to the Old Testament sacrifice, which in one sense is a slander against Christ because they're rejecting his one-time offering. I believe it's in the book of Amos. Hosea, not Amos. Hosea's wife left him, played the harlot, and he goes and buys her back when she's for sale as a slave. In Hosea chapter 3, verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Verse number 4. The children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice. That's a red heifer. And without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God. Tells me that they had not been. And David their king, and shall fear the Lord in his goodness in the latter days. Chapter 6, verse 1, same book of Hosea. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. And the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That's a resurrection. That's 2,000 years with 1,000 years reign of Christ. Very plain. I don't see what else it could be. They dwelled in booths. I don't think I read it. I'll go over and Leviticus 23, chapter 23, verse 42. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All the Israelites born in, shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That's also mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. I believe it also covers how he protected their garments miraculously. He can do that. Deuteronomy 16. Is that the passage I wanted? Verse 13, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Verse 9, 7 weeks shalt thou number to thee, begin the number of 7 weeks, and such time thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks to the Lord, the tribute of freewill offering. That's still not the same, the passage. Incidentally, verse 1 of that 16th chapter talks about the month of Abib. The Jews had two calendars. They had the sacred and the civil calendar. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, it tells us when their new year began. Verse 2 of Exodus 12, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. 7 months later, between 6 and 7 months later, they had the month of Tishri, which was this very month in which we are studying. You had the tree Feast of Trumpets, the Great Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Little straw huts made of willows and palms, showing that God protected them like he did when they came out of the Exodus, when they came out of Egypt. Leviticus 23 and 40. And you shall take on you the first day of the boughs of goodly trees, branches and palm trees, and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast of the Lord 7 days in the year. Note down in verse 42, all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That's what I was getting at. If you rejected, we've already covered what your lot was. You were cut off. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. I think it's one of the passages I was needing. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, or bread only, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. That's another miracle on itself. And there were many other miracles. Well, this week in Israel, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's called the head of the year, Rosh Hashanah. As we've already covered, the sacred Jewish calendar, the new year begins in April. Usually it's April, March or April. What is the sacred calendar and what's a civil calendar? Well, the sacred calendar has to do with the feast of Jehovah, the things of the Lord. The civil calendar has to do with things of government, like bondage of Rome, enrolling for taxes, which is this time of the year, God tabernacling with man. The typology is perfect. Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem about 7 months, 6 or 7 months after the Feast of Passover. And while, of course, she was there, Christ was born. Jewish tradition teaches that God, this is their take, the Jews' take on these feasts. Not quite what we find in Scripture. Before the feast, after the Feast of Trumpets and before the feast of, or the Great Day of Atonement, Jewish tradition teaches that God judges all creatures during those 10 days and decides who will live and who will die in the next year. We read in Job, he's appointed our days. We simply call it the Jewish New Year. He also inscribes the righteous in the book of life and condemns the unrighteous, making it a time of repentance. As I said, Job 14 says he's numbered, appointed our days. Psalms chapter Losing my place. Psalm 68 and 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto the God the Lord belong the issues from death. God's already decided. It's up for us to be obedient. We read in the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter. Now, most people fight you tooth and nail, say this don't mean what it says. Of course, they're calling God's word a liar if they say such a thing. That cannot be. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. I believe that to be Judas. He was the son of perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. As said, this week in Israel is this Feast of Tabernacles. Actually, it's a week from today. We're already after the Great Day of Atonement. There's talk of the red heifer. They have what they need. They say, claim they do. That means the days of our Lord's return draweth nigh. We're listening for a trumpet. Now, there's something curious about them trumpets. Turn to the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter. Verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them. No breaks, no rends, no seams. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, and that thou mayest use them to calling the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. When you blow an alarm, it gives how the camps were to move, verse 5 and 6. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. But when the congregation is gathered together, you shall blow and shall not sound an alarm. Tells how they were to use these trumpets. Note in chapter 9 of this book of Numbers, the same book, verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Now turn over to the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. At this time, this was right after the Exodus. We just read those trumpets were made a year later. They didn't have them at this time. Verse 19, And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. We read in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that Moses was scared. He was really scared. This is a trump of God. They hadn't made theirs yet. That's the point that I'm trying to make. This was a trump of God. That's the one we're listening for. I haven't heard it yet. What's it going to sound like? Keep in mind, for some, it will be, come up hither, come home. Some, it's going to be a call to arms, time for war. The Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. Verse 28. Christ saying, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sake. It could be prepare to meet your God, or meet God in his wrath. It could be come up hither. It could be get ready to fight. It's going to mean something to everyone that hears it. Deliverance from one warning to another. It's the watchman that is appointed to sound the alarm. It's a very serious matter. Not just anybody could do it in Israel. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man out of their coast and set him for their watchman, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, it is as if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. It's a serious matter being responsible to hear that trumpet. Verse 6, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but the blood, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. We're listening for sounds. The trump of God is what we're listening for. In the book of Revelation, the 8th chapter, and keep in mind, I think it's the 8th chapter, these are trumpets of angels, not the trump of God. I don't think it's a passage I was wanting. That's not the passage I was wanting. The angels, as the saying goes, are preparing to blow. Verse 2 of that same, that 8th chapter of Revelation. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them which were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints to upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came out of with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. These are trumpets of the angels, not the trumpet of God. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're listening for the sound of a trumpet, but it's not the trumpet of angels. Chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We looked at this. These bodies are going to be changed. There are going to be something left of them, some changes made to them. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The last trump. This is the trump of God. First Thessalonians 4, I believe. 16. First Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what we're listening for. We haven't heard it sound as yet. We cannot go beyond what Scripture says. The trumpets were used for calling assemblies and other things. This is a trump of God. It's going to be used for calling, come up hither. Getting back to the Jews' view, what are they really looking for? What are they longing for? How do they handle the Word of God? We know that they're in denial. When Moses is read, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that just as the veil was upon Moses, they couldn't talk to him because he was so bright. But their minds were blinded until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. They have their traditions. They're looking for the Messiah. We're looking for his return. They're looking for him the first time. They have candle lightings for the Feast of Trumpets. Girls light candles. That's during the holidays. Blessings are recited. They reflect on the previous year. Blessings and prayers. They have a meal. A blessing is spoken over their food and their wine, over their bread. They have symbolic foods, pomegranates, challah bread, round loaf served with honey. Symbolizes seasons of life. Eating of apples dipped with honey. Honey symbolizes the desire to have a sweet, enjoyable, and bountiful year, not a sour, or bitter, or tart food like horseradish or vinegar. Pomegranates is big food with them. Vast number of seeds, supposedly an exact number of seeds that alludes to the law that the Jewish elders had added. They are to attend the synagogue service. Oh, that's good. Don't have to many other times of year, but you have to this time. Sounds like Christmas and Easter, doesn't it? They have special prayers. They have a special prayer book. Live stream their services for those unable to attend. They are to listen to a shofar, that trumpet, made from a hollowed-out ram's horn. The sounding of the trumpet, the shofar, is a key element that they all long for. You see, I've heard this is so. The day, nobody knoweth the day nor hour. That was decided by the two watchmen that was to blow trumpets. They decided the day nor the hour. Which makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're listening for sounds. The watchman's the ones to blow the horn. It all fits together. As I said, they cast their breadcrumbs upon the water, throwing away their bad deeds, symbols, works, casting away things you've done wrong. Self-reflection, self-examination. Have you missed the mark? Decide what you do differently the next year. Hit the mark. They were to have 10 days of all. 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when the Bible we just read had 5 days between the two. 10 days between the trumpets and the Great Day of Atonement, 5 afterwards. That's coming up this very next week. Is the Lord's return going to be then? Very well could be. You can take scripture and see that it could be in Feast of Pentecost, as Christ was taken up before Pentecost. We don't know. But in all I see, all that I read of their customs, it's all about works. And they read, they say nothing about Christ. They know who Christ said he was. We believe Christ is who he says he was, the Messiah. He's fixing to return. That's all we have for today in our lesson.